gracious with one another and gracious with other churches and things. So just be aware that everybody's trying to carry out things as they believe the Lord have them do it. Now, if next Sunday most of you want to meet in a parking lot, tell your deacon and we'll meet in a parking lot. And but wait a minute, Ryan, let's not have any rebellion here. Now, if you just kidding, Ryan. No, but seriously, if some have decided to do that and we're not to put any judgment zone on them or nothing like that, you know, like working out over here, where's it, Joshua? Planet Fitness, no judgment zone. So if you gained a little weight before you go work, don't worry about it. Just and look, we want that in our church too, okay? So whatever other people are doing, ask them to support their pastor and deacons and follow their leadership. Amen? And that's why we're called Independent Baptist Church for a reason. Okay. We had enough fun, hadn't we? All right. There's a children's story that originated in the Far East nearly 600 years before Christ. They made a film out of it in 1943. It's entitled Chicken Little. They had received a new, going real deep here today, you know. And it's they had received a new prophecy from above. She was eating her lunch one day, Chicken Little was. An acorn fell from a tree, hit her in the head. She ran into a panic toward the palace to tell the king. And she ran yelling, "The sky is falling. The sky is falling." As is always the case, once you go into panic mode, you're more likely to follow someone sounding the warning. As Chicken Little ran and was screaming, others joined her. All of the animals had rhyming names so that you would not remember the message of the story, which the recent more recent one in 205 or 206, Hollywood, of course, perverted it and made a Foxy Loxy a champion of being the most healthy or something like this. That's not the moral of the story. The animals with rhyming names, as I said, were to help us remember the true message of the story. Henny Penny. Boy, some old people here today. Turkey Lurkey. Goosey, Lucy, Foxy, Loxy. By the way, Foxy Loxy's joined in the panic and led others to the barnyard gate where his motive was to eat all the birds in the farmyard. What is the basic theme that you should come away with by learning this children's story, again, 600 years before Christ was its origination? You should have come away with it with this. Evaluate everything you are hearing with reasonable sense and don't believe everything you hear. Good advice. One thing that survived this Chicken Little phrase is the association that if anyone sounds an alarm and predicts the worst of outcomes, we say they think the sky is falling. The sky is falling. This is so embedded in our culture that even yesterday on the front page of the Epoch Times, a truth and tradition conservative paper, mostly, they had the term Chicken Little in their headlines. In other words, do not believe the doomsayers. They are deluded people running around like silly chickens. The sky is not falling and it never will. That was the opinion of people until the nation of Israel was formed in 48, and they did kind of a uh-oh in the culture. Richard Swenson, in his book Hurtling Toward Oblivion, 1999, he says, 40 years ago, Hollywood would write futuristic movies that were all utopian. Utopian means life will evolve into something more perfect and more wonderful. But today they are described as apocalyptic. In other words, movies about the future have changed over the last 30 and 40 years. The world is not getting better. The world in the future is now a world of wild creatures, with Earth either uninhabited or unlivable, and the planet filled with danger becomes a barren wasteland. Modern philosophers are all agreeing to this one basic theme: there is danger ahead. The last major asteroid to hit the Earth was in 1908. It landed in the dense forest area of Serbia. This one asteroid leveled 700 square miles. That's over half of Lycoming County. One asteroid. Lycoming County is 1,228 square miles, by the way. Imagine that happening today. Carl Sagan, who is now in hell, was a popular secular humanist whose TV program was watched by nearly 6 million people and led people to basically worship the universe. In fact, his pseudoscience laid the groundwork for the current age in which people are told to communicate their wishes to the universe. The universe will then, by the laws of attraction, bring to you what your heart really desires. If you can think it, you can have it. Real biblical advice there, right? If you think you're a god, then you must be one. I think, therefore, you say it. You can think yourself to be a lot of things that you're not, and you never will be. Amen? I think I need God, and I know I've trusted in Him. All God's people say, Amen. Before he died, Carl Sagan said, several years before he died, in 1980, he said, "We may have only a few decades until doomsday." George Wald, the former professor of biology, a really brainy guy here, at Harvard University and Nobel Peace Prize winner, when it used to mean something, that's a side note, specialized in pigments within the retina. That's a brainy guy, right? Working all in the eye. He said this, "Human life is threatened as never before in the history of the planet, not by one peril, but by many. And they are all working together, coming to a head about the same time. I am one of those scientists who find it hard to see how the human race will survive much longer." Pastor Long is always guilty of applying the Bible to the present age, so let's do it again. This COVID-19 virus will probably run its course and die just like other flus or viruses have done in the past. But we have an opportunity here to help people who are plagued with fear. You should assure them that God is in control and that those feelings of some greater, more fearful things in the future are coming. You should tell them that's true. You weren't expecting that, were you? You should tell them that is true. Who's planted that in man? God has. And then tell them that you're not afraid because your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the tribulation period, the sky will begin to fall. It will fall. But you don't have to be here to endure it. You should fear God and find your safety in Him. By the way, that's good advice for today too, all God's people say. Amen. Find your safety in Christ now by believing on Him, and He will allow you to escape the coming judgments of God when He sends them on the earth. The beginning of the end is drawing near. Take your Bible and turn to Revelation chapter 6, please. We're going to be looking at the sixth seal today in the tribulation period. Where are the believers in this time as we're reading? They're in heaven. How do you know that? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When did they go to heaven? Revelation chapter 4. All you need to remember is the number 4. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, then we go into the wrath that will come upon the earth. So 1 Thessalonians 4, rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians 5, we then see the tribulation period on the earth. Now we're in Revelation chapter 6 today. The rapture of the church has already taken place. And now what's taking place on the earth is that some, as soon as the rapture takes place, listen to this, folks. As soon as the rapture takes place, all those people who were faking it just to make it, a lot of them are going to repent and trust Christ. And then as they do, listen to this, they will be put to death. And in our last message, they're before the throne of God, and they're asking for justice upon the earth. Is it wrong to pray for justice? They're praying for justice upon the earth to the Lord, sitting right there in heaven, because of those who slain them on the earth. So will there be people saved in the tribulation period? Answer, yes. Okay, good. I don't want to go through any part of the tribulation period. In fact, I can't because I've trusted Christ. Yes or no? Doesn't matter how I feel about it one day. That's the truth. And the truth sets you free from all kind of lies. After the rapture, again, the tribulation period starts in 1 Thessalonians 5, and God's going to reveal His wrath on the ungodly men, the inhabitants of the earth. Jesus opens the sixth seal, and He reveals the future of planet earth and its inhabitants. It's called the Day of the Lord. Revelation 6 today, we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 17, and today's title is, "The Sky Will Fall, But the Lamb Will Stand." The sky will fall, but the Lamb will stand. Starting in verse 12 today of Revelation chapter 6. "And I beheld, and when He had opened the sixth seal," who's opening up this scroll that's been sealed with these seven seals? Who's opening it up so we can see what Christ is opening up? Who's recording it? John, he's seeing it happen as though he's there. Okay, verse 12. "And I beheld, and when He," Jesus, "opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell on the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb." By the way, if you want your face to be hid from God, you're probably sinning against God. But if you know God and you want to do what's right, you come before the throne of grace asking for mercy, like we heard in the song, and asking for grace. Even as a sinning believer, you want mercy and grace. Amen? We don't run from God, folks. We run to God. He's the only place of safety. "And they said, hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the," read it out loud, "the wrath of the Lamb." One person I don't want being angry with me, it's God. Amen. Now, since I'm His child through faith in Christ, He will chasten me at times if I get off, start trying to live in my own strength. He'll give me a spanking, but He'll never crucify me. Amen? Never cast me into hell. Praise God for that. In fact, it's in His love that He rebukes us on occasion. Aren't you thankful for that? How many of us want to be going our own way without the love of God bringing us back to walk in closeness to Him? Nobody really who's a believer wants that. They want to be close to God. Verse 17 says, "For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Wow. Several of the Old Testament prophets mentioned this day of wrath. He sent these prophets to warn of His coming. Isaiah 2, 19 through 21, just listen, because there's a number of them. I'm going to go as fast as I can. Isaiah 2, 19 and 21, "And they shall go into the holes of the rocks." This is 700 years before Christ was born. How many of you think God knows what's going on? Anybody? "They shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty when He ariseth to shake terribly the earth." That's the earthquake. "To go into the clefts of the rocks and to the tops of the ragged rocks for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty when He ariseth to shake terribly the earth." Isaiah 13, 10 and 11. "The stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light like they do now. For the sun shall be darkened for in his going forth. The moon shall not cause her light to shine. I will punish the world for their evil." Isaiah 13, 10 through 11, in case you're wondering what's happening. "I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease." Who are the arrogant who are still walking in their pride? The ones who are denying that God is their creator. If you can deny God as your creator, Genesis 1, backed by evolutionists, then you can deny that you need a Savior. That's the whole point. "I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible." Boy, when God does the humbling on us, we'll get humble. Hosea 10:8, "And they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and unto the hills, fall on us." Nahum chapter 1, 2, 5, and 7. God is jealous. What's wrong with being jealous? There's a godly jealousy. You know, this is my wife. So there's a godly jealousy going on here. Right? Yes or no? Okay, that's a proper jealousy. "And the Lord revengeth." The Lord revengeth. "He is furious." I never knew the Lord got angry. He does. I mean, you start reading these guys and you start breaking out in a sweat. That's the point. "The Lord will take vengeance on His adversaries. He reserveth wrath for His enemies. The mountains quake at Him. The hills melt and the earth is burned at His presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who shall stand before His indignation? Who shall abide in the fierceness of His wrath?" His anger. "His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by Him." By the way, every star you see shooting is a projectile by God. He knows all the stars. He tells them what to do. What the Bible says. God's a pretty good aim, by the way. Bill, you like sharpshooting? God's a sharpshooter. He hits the target every time. What's He trying to hit the target today? Our hearts. "The Lord is good." Wait a minute. All that, and then all of a sudden, boom. Yeah. "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust Him." And all that, He knows who's trusting Him. I like that. No matter what's going on in my life, God knows whether or not I'm trusting Him. How many of you like that? Say amen. Amen. One more. We could go on all day with this. How many of you want to go on all day or just a couple more verses? All right. Zephaniah 1, 14 through 17. "The great day of the Lord is near." Means it can happen at any point. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble, a day of distress, a day of wastefulness, a day of desolation, a day of darkness, a day of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities, meaning they're going to fall, against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither shall their silver nor their gold be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. I think I'll take a little swallow of water after all that. Sprinkle the rest of you. Hey, I got to tell you, when you start reading about the Lord's wrath, it just humbles you right down. Amen? The fact that we have been delivered from the wrath to come. Boy, that's amazing grace. Do we deserve the wrath to come? Every sinner does. We've all blasphemed God's name somewhere along our life. But the Lord is of tender mercy. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, be born again. Amen. The day of the Lord is used sporadically in the Old Testament. It denotes times of the Lord's exercising judgments on the settled rebellion of men. That's an important term, settled rebellion of men. God can save a sinner, but he won't save a rebel. Did you get that? He'll save a sinner, but he can't save a rebel. Why? A rebel has his fist toward God. That fist is going to have to come down. And God sends things like this for men to drop their arms and submit their will to him. He really is the Lord. He really is the Creator. He really is the only Savior. And that's the jealousy of the Lord for his name. He alone is the Lord, and he will not share his glory as God with any, Isaiah tells us. When this use of the Old Testament term, Day of the Lord, denotes times of the Lord exercising judgments on settled rebellion of men, like the falling of fiery brimstones from heaven on particular two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, we need to get in one of them rainbow shirts, right? And put, remember Noah. Remember, in God's judgment, he will show you mercy if you'll receive his grace. Well, that's kind of what you need to put on a rainbow today. The rainbow, you remember in the study of this, is the glory of God's character through colors. And we not ought to surrender that rainbow, but rather tell people what it is. The larger meaning of Day of the Lord is referring to the tribulation period where the whole earth will be judged like in Noah's flood. So has God ever judged the whole earth before? The answer is, he has. And Noah found what? Grace. Noah didn't find works to get saved. He found grace, and therefore his works demonstrated that he depended on God's grace, just like Abraham. Now, in case you want to get a biblical perspective on sin and sickness and these things, God allows every disease, plague, virus, famine, pestilence, earthquake, etc., that we experience as a people in part, as a picture of the full-blown wrath of God in the future. You see, God allowing a Christian to be sick is his strange work. Now, if God doesn't heal us in our sickness, we're going to die. How many of you know that? But then, we're in heaven. That's amazing. So your faith can be tested greatly if you get sick. Are you aware of that? Because it's what they call an oxymoron. Here's what Paul said about it. Hey, I asked the Lord, he could heal other people through the power of God. Why didn't he heal himself? Because the word was being completed, and as the word was being completed, the Lord started taking those miracles away. I mean, just speaking the word and healed. Glenn came in today and said, Pastor, what's the title for today? I said, be warmed, be filled, and be healed. And he's like, it's smiling at me. I said, well, I don't have that power, but I got to warm in the field and I'll give you something to eat. But only Jesus can heal you. I can't heal you. How many remember old, well, I'm getting off the message today. We got to keep going. I was going to say something about Granny on the Clampets, and she said, if you want to get healed, just go get the rheumatism medicine. That'll cure whatever's ailing you. But I got to stay on this message, so I can't say that. All right. But folks, it's a test. Here's what Paul said. Okay. Lord, I've asked you to heal me, and you've said no. I ask you again, you said no. One more time, help me, folks. I asked you again, Lord, and you said, therefore, I'm going to take the power of your grace in my weakness so that your strength will be perfected in my weakness. I'd rather have the glory of God on me being sick than no glory of God and being well. Now, that's a mature Christian. That's somebody knowing what's coming in the future and the glory of God, willing to bear a cross. We've all got some cross to bear. Let us remember that. But all of these little snippets of disease and things that we deal with in society are just an introduction to what's coming in the future. The goal is the same. Cause sinners to repent and believers to sober up and get serious about living totally for the Lord's glory. That's what trouble does. Cause sinners to repent and causes believers to sober up and get serious about living totally for the Lord's glory. See, we have a tendency just to have our own little cube of life. As long as I got a little income, doing okay physically, I think I'll just go on and not be bothered with the world. Not good advice, folks. We're supposed to be infiltrating the world and drawing people to Christ. Did you know that? In Joel chapter 2, describes the final world judgment. The final world judgment. Gary, this is going to answer one of your questions. It only takes me about 6 months to answer your question, Gary, but I'm going to answer your question today. You asked me some time ago, can God send anything before the rapture of the church that precludes the tribulation period? And the answer to that is yes, he can, Gary. And Joel chapter 2 is the pattern. Describes the final world judgment, tribulation, millennial reign at the end of that, Armageddon, by the way. How many of you know Armageddon's actually after the millennial reign? I don't know if you realize that or not. Yeah, the Great Tribulation is not all nations coming against Israel yet. In the millennial reign, they will. After the millennial reign, then all the nations of the earth are going to come against Israel. Guess what? They're going to lose. So remember that. But in Joel chapter 2, the final world judgment is precluded by chapter 1. In chapter 1, God sends a local plague of locusts to devour all the vegetation in the land of Judah. Where's that happening right now, by the way? I know you got your phone. Google, boom, boom, boom. And you'll find out that God, who? God has already sent a plague of locusts, and he does this on a regular basis to people who are blaspheming his name openly. He just sends locusts. He doesn't need an army. Well, we got to have a strong military. No, he just sends locusts. Wipe y'all out. Won't be any food left if he sends locusts. And that's exactly what happens. Good to have a strong military. Better to depend upon the Lord if you got a strong military or not. And all God's people say, amen. He sends a local plague of locusts to devour all the vegetation in the land of Judah so that they would humble themselves and stop worshiping false gods, which they refuse to do. And if not, he would allow Babylon to invade them in chapter 2. And guess what happened? Babylon invaded them. That was a preview of the ultimate day of the Lord. So to answer many of your questions, is this COVID, no matter how big you think it is or whatever, is it a precursor to what's going to happen in the future? And the answer of that is yes. All diseases are. All plagues are. Anybody ever heard of the bubonic plague? I didn't say everything's better with bubonic on it. I said, that's bubonic. I like real butter, by the way. So, all right. This term, Day of the Lord, is used in the Old Testament 19 times. And in the New Testament, it's used 4 times. Remember I mentioned 1 Thessalonians 5? Just listen. Verses 1 and 6. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the Day of the Lord. It comes like this. It comes like a thief in the night, unexpectedly. That's in the tribulation period. For when they say peace and safety, don't you love those two words? We're hearing that a lot today, aren't we? Then the sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman, and they shall not escape. They won't escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. For ye are all the children of light, understanding, spiritual understanding. And the children of the day, you clearly see. But we are not of the night or of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. Let us watch and be sober, be serious about today. Peter also uses the phrase Day of the Lord to include the end of the millennial reign when the battle of Armageddon, all nations will take place. That's 2 Peter 3:10 through 12. But the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night, in which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and earth also, and the works therein shall be burned up. Because that's true, what manner of persons ought we all to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Since all of our stuff's going to burn up anyways. That doesn't mean be a poor steward, because steward means God gave it to you and it belongs to Him. Looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with and fervent heat. What manner of people ought we to be knowing that's coming? Luke 21, 25 and 26. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, not knowing what to do. How many of you don't know what to do? Well, what we're to do is to trust the Lord when we don't know what to do. When we're at our wits' end, give your mind to God. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the power of heaven shall be shaken. Men's heart, it says, failing them for fear. I just saw this. This guy was so scared that he was going to get COVID. This Japanese fella, or China, it could have been. Listen, this is not a politically correct message. I have trouble deciphering this guy. Chinese, Japanese, Korean. Please forgive me. I can't tell them apart. And then I was talking to one of my Korean friends who played basketball. We said, well, all y'all look the same too. I said, okay. But anyway, so this guy's walking. All of a sudden, anybody ever dropped a tree before? Brad, you ever cut one down? You know how they drop? I mean, they... Pow! This guy was walking along. He was so scared of getting COVID. Now, he didn't have COVID. He was scared of getting COVID. Guess what he did? Died of a heart attack. A lot of that's going on. Fear can kill you. Right here, the Bible says, many will die for fear. They don't even have to be connected with the stuff, just afraid. We are not to be afraid. Fear not. I got a little book coming from Rand Hummel, One Per Family. Fear not. Just goes through taking out the Bible and writing down things and applying the Word of God to life. Very good. Fear not. Look at verse 17 of Revelation 6. It says here, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them. Oh, wait a minute. I'm reading chapter 8. That sounds pretty good. That's a good chapter. For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? In other words, has come here. The people will believe the terrible things happening on the earth for the first 3.5 years are coming due to the wrath of God. They know where it's coming from now. In other words, bloodshed, wars, famines, pestilence. Those are all kind of diseases. Now the sky is falling with other cosmic signs. Why are we studying this, by the way? What good is all this doing to us since we'll be in heaven anyways? And folks, that's exactly our problem. We're only focused on our life and our lifespan, but God always has a larger picture. Larger picture. And that is to redeem men from their sins and try to save them from the wrath to come. That's why Christ went to the cross. Never question the character of Christ when he judges, because he's already made a way of escape. All God's people say, amen. Any time in our generation where people are fairly convinced that doomsday is coming and something bad is going to be happening, that gives us an opportunity to warn them of the wrath of God that is definitely going to come, and for them to take the grace of God and trust Christ to be saved. Doomsday is coming one day. It's called the tribulation period. Then tell them, 1 Thessalonians 1:10 is a real good verse for us in this time. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, you might want to write that down and let it be your personal testimony. You want to tell them as a believer, I'm waiting for the Son of God from heaven, whom God raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And you can be delivered too, if you'll trust Him. So why study this about the future? Because it develops greater rejoicing in our salvation. 1 Thessalonians 4, it comforts our heart. And it encourages us to share with others how they too can flee the wrath to come. And that would comfort our hearts. As the sixth seal opens, it reveals what is written on the scroll. It tells us exactly what will happen on earth. Five disturbances coming on earth you'd rather review in heaven. Five disturbances coming in earth that you would rather view in heaven. If you're a believer, you'll be viewing it in heaven. Look at verse 12. Got to move even faster than I have been. Revelation 6:12. When I hold the head open the sixth seal, lo, there was a mega seismos. Seismology is the study of earthquakes. This is the Greek word mega seismos. This is huge. The earthquake that's coming. Number two of disturbances coming in verse 12. Total eclipse of the sun and moon. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. This black sackcloth is the black sheep hair of the goat hair that people wore when someone died. That started in Israel, wearing black at a funeral. It meant the end of something. Sackcloth, this blackness will cover the sun like a garment, is what it means. The moon eclipse is described as being deep red in color, or a blood moon. As the great shaking on earth continues, ashes begin to darken the sky. The sun's light is greatly veiled, and the moon is dark, deep red. Kind of a scary sight, isn't it? I don't know if you're aware of this or not. All types of weird things happen under false religions like Muslims and Hindus whenever there's an eclipse. One highly educated 32-year-old Hindu computer executive said, Indians, who are Hindus, throw away thousands of pounds of cooked food when an eclipse happens, believing that germs are particularly released and their food has become contaminated. These poor, starving people are further tortured by their false beliefs. Wow. Number three, disturbances you'd rather view in heaven than on earth. Verse 13. Falling stars from heaven. Falling stars from heaven hitting the earth. And they're like a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. Now, these figs look like purple onions. That's what they look like, hanging on a tree. You know, this round bulb type. And when the wind shakes real hard, they'll fall off earlier than what they should. And that's what he's saying here. And they fall, they're dead falling, hit the ground. He said the stars are going to be like that. Trying to give us a local picture of while as he was teaching there. Can you imagine this scene for a minute now? In the tribulation period. If these stars break apart, you're going to see coming out of this ball of dust and the sun darkened and the moon blood red. That's all you're going to be able to see, barely. And then out of this dust is going to be coming these fireballs. Man, I thank God I'm going to be viewing that from heaven. And you don't know where they're going to hit. There'll be thousands of them, of course. Millions of them, probably. The earth violently shaken, the sky becomes black, the sun is shielded, the moon appears blood red in color. They're coming out of the darkness, these burning fireballs. The sky is literally fallen. Verse 14, when the sky splits apart and rolls back into two opposite directions. That's the picture of an atomic bomb. You ever seen that? When it explodes and how the dust goes like this, it twirls. I believe it's what he's describing. Every time one of these fireball hits, boom, sky splits. Sky splits. Verse 14 again. This is sobering. The fifth thing you'd rather view from heaven than on earth. And verse 14 is every, say that word with me, every mountain and island were moved out of their places. That's a great shaking. This is a planet shaking earthquake. Wow. The very crust, by the way, he didn't mention this like Luke does. He didn't even go on to describe the very crust of the earth moved. Hurricanes and tsunamis come because of those shift in those earthly plates. Of course, they'll sweep inland and undoubtedly drown millions of people. These are devastating. These are very discerning, concerning truths here. Who will be affected by these six seal disturbances? All kind of people who are standing on the earth right now and are esteemed for different reasons. Let's look at them. Who will be affected by the six seal disturbances that are coming on the earth? John describes seven categories of people. Number one, in verse 15, the kings of the earth. These are the heads of state, rulers, presidents, prime ministers, the nations of the earth. They will recognize at this point they have no power. By the way, the sooner you realize, the sooner I realize every day, we have no power to affect any good anywhere apart from the grace of God. And because we do have the grace of God, we need to labor more abundantly. Don't get lazy. Labor more abundantly because you have the grace. That's what Paul said, and I like that mentality. Number two, who's going to be affected? The great men. This is all in verse 15. The great men. These men are high-ranking officials, senators, and senior-ranking officials from all walks of life. These words would refer to. The third category of people affected during the tribulation period, rich men. This word also includes famous. So these people are rich and famous, well-known. They'll find out then that their money is worthless as a safety tool. Being known by many means nothing. Means a lot today in today's society, doesn't it? I heard that my daughter was telling me, hey, Dad, you know, we don't see a lot of Barron Trump. Boy, the guy's really growing, you know, he's taking off, you know, and eating this and that, and looks like he's older than he is because he's a young guy, right? But she said, you know what? They find out what he's wearing, and it sells out at the store. What kind of shirts he got on, you know, what shoes is he wearing? I just find that interesting, don't you? I won't mean a hill of beans when it comes to this period of time. Chief men are the next one. These chief men, these chief captains, are military commanders who are very experienced in battle and know how to win. I'll tell you this story. General Douglas MacArthur used to go out on the hill near his bunker in World War II and face the Japanese pilots as they were coming in. He'd stand there on the hill like this and just stare at them. And that they came in, they were too high to get him. So the bullets, you know, bup, 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 you know, the rail, he's like standing there looking at them dead in their face. They scared them to death. They hated that guy. He said he'd go out and stand as close to the enemy line without crouching. And just stare them down. in defiance. But there won't be anybody standing at this time. All men will be crouching in fear. Number five, mighty men. Mighty men. This means influential people in culture. Those who know how to make connections and get things done. These are nicknamed movers and shakers today. You know, what's your connection to get it done? But the only thing moving and shaking is going to be them, their bodies and their knees, believe me. That's the influence that the Lamb, the wrath of Lamb is going to have on them. All their connections won't mean, as they say again, hill of beans. Anybody know what a hill of beans is? Doesn't mean much. That's a phrase from North Carolina. Y'all use that up here, by the way? Kent does? Okay, me and Kent. We understand what we're talking about. It doesn't mean much. Okay, doesn't have a lot of influence on you. The next, Kurt, you're going to like this one. The sixth one affected by this are every what? Bondmen. These aren't the guys going to get the criminals. These are the criminals. They're all going to be released. Yeah. How many of you love it? Releasing criminals because we don't want them to get COVID. No. Oh, I can't get on that, but here's the time they're all going to be released. You know why they're going to be released? Every man for his own. We're not watching you anymore. We're taking care of ourselves. We're out of here. Unlock. Gone. If you can make it, run. And then every free man, that's everyone else, those not incarcerated, will be running to the mountains in fear too to find safety. Can I give us just a little word of wisdom here, personal application from Pastor Long? You might like it, you may not. I'm just going to read this because I might mess it up. If we ever experience a serious plague like the bubonic plague, we won't have to vote on shutting down anything. It'll shut itself down. The very fact we have the capability of reasoning our way through COVID-19 shows by its very nature not to be as serious as some are making it out to be. Some have died from it, yes. I'm not trying to minimize that. And it hurts, and we've got to be careful with people, just like any other flu or virus. But it hasn't scratched the surface compared to the number of people dying from AIDS every year. You don't hear about that one because it's associated with the act of homosexuality. That's why you don't hear about it. 25 million people have AIDS. That's a judgment from God. Nearly 1 million people die from this predominantly homosexual sin every year. Every year around the world, 1 million people. Sin has a payday. It does not generally transfer to heterosexual people unless there is a blood transfer or transfusion. Sometimes hospitals give bad blood. Or when they share a needle for drugs. You know, one of the ones that really pains me is when some little kid gets AIDS because of bad blood. Oh, that burns me up. How about you? Did you get angry about anything? God does. The smaller infectious diseases, earthquakes, are a taste of the warning of the coming tribulation period. In the last days before the tribulation begins and before the rapture, cultural groups will join in rebellion against God and His spokesman. So Kurt's what I tell you, two guys you don't want to be in this culture. You don't want to be a police officer and you don't want to be a preacher. So me and Kurt have decided to go start selling cars. All right. Like in the days of Noah before the flood, the thoughts of men were only evil continually, and they did not want to think about God. When the rapture of church takes place, people won't want to be thinking about God. Yet millions will still be saved. Verses 15 and 16, let me read fast. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich, the chief captains, the mighty men, every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains. Verse 16. And they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. You know what they're doing right here? This is universal prayer. This is a prayer. And who are they crying out to? The universe. Rocks and mountains take care of us. Hide us from the face. Boy, I tell you what, that's evolution taken to its greatest extent. This is a cry out to Mother Nature to protect them from God. These rebellious people are unbelievable, aren't they? You would think with all this going on, they'd humble themselves. But you know what? It's just like Pharaoh of old. God gave him 10 chances. And every time he said, no, 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 no. I can't. 10 no's. And finally God said, okay. You don't think God is merciful? How many of you got saved the first time you heard the gospel? Not me. I said, no, 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 no. And then finally I said, okay, it's time to go. Sin's got to go. I'll take grace. All God's people say. Yeah, amen. That's right. Verse 17. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? The answer is no one will be able to stand. These people inherently realize, according to Ecclesiastes 3:11, that eternity is written in their hearts. They do know there's a God, and they do know they were created by him, but in Romans chapter 1, they rebel against that. And he sits on the throne, and they know they deserve wrath that is coming from the Lamb. But they still don't repent. They reject the rock of ages and depend on the rocks of the hills. They would rather hide from God in fear than run to him in faith. And this is where I believe Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, where God gives them up to the strong delusion, the lie of the Antichrist. It prepares their heart for the Antichrist, the beast. Listen. After the dust settles from this, and it will, the sky opens up again, the fires are put out, the Antichrist will walk right into Jerusalem, eventually he'll desecrate the altar, and the constructed temple will still be there, unscathed, protected by God, but he'll claim to be God. Perhaps he'll walk in and say, I'm the one that stopped all these things. Now, do you want more of that? Or are you going to trust me? Listen, folks, the people will just line up like ducks. They won't be asking a lot of questions. But then somebody's... Wait a minute. What is going on here? Somebody's going to be reading the Bible in the tribulation period. This is what's happening. Look what's coming next. And the next thing you know, there's 144,000 Jewish evangelists, 12,000 from each tribe, and they're going to evangelize the whole world and give everybody a chance to be saved. Right now, we're supposed to be spreading the gospel all over the world in an attempt to cover the world. One day it will be. What should we do with all this fear coming on the earth? Well, we need to tell people the truth. The sky is going to fall one day, and I hope you're watching it from heaven and not on the earth. What should we do? We should comfort one another that the rapture is going to take place before this. 1 Thessalonians 4. And then we should comfort one another that we're not going to go through that wrath. 1 Thessalonians 5. And then we ought to become greater evangelists, my friends. And if we're afraid to tell people the truth, we need God's grace. Take it and tell them, listen, if you're afraid of what's going on in our society today, I just want to let you know, it's going to get a lot worse. Will you trust Christ? Now listen, can God give us a reprieve? We'll be over this flu, virus, whatever you want to call it. And then most of the world will probably go back to what they were doing as though God didn't exist. And that would be the wrong way to respond. Every disease, every pestilence, every sickness is to remind us death is on its way. But life is to be found in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thank you for the truth, dear Lord. It sets us free. May we comfort one another with these truths and be greater evangelists in Jesus' name. Amen.